Blog Talk Radio.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up. Don't be so rough, but you got to be tough when you do your stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Congress College. Happy Friday. My name is Elizabeth Chris. Boy, I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful week. You are listening to Congress College, where, if you guessed it, we're going to talk about Congress. And Congress College does this twice weekly. On the Money Show, which, of course, is the same time slot, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is when Congress is in session, we are going to talk about the bills that are literally going to be coming up in the Senate of the United States and will be coming up in the House of Representatives. Sometimes we'll talk about a hearing, especially if it's got some national interest. And then on the Friday show, which, of course, is the show you're listening to now, we recap the week. And we talk about what actually got done. And, you know, I do the show twice weekly for a couple of reasons. The first is so you can answer this really, really simple question. Were you represented well in Washington, D.C. for the week? Because think about it. Those guys and gals in the House, those guys and gals in the Senate, they represent you. They represent me. They are supposed to be speaking for us. So don't you think we should at least know what they're up to? I do, and that's why I do Congress College for you. I also do the show to familiarize folks with the free website, gradegov.com. And, of course, gradegov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? You want to give him or her an A, or maybe you want to give him a D or a C. You can grade your member of Congress. You can grade somebody you just learned about. And, of course, the grades I'm talking about are the A, B, C, D, or F, just like the grades we got in school. The site will ask you who you want to grade, then it'll ask you what grade you want to give it, and then it'll auto-prompt part of a letter, Dear Senator Rubio, and then you have to finish why you gave the grade that you gave. Once you click send, you have just graded a member of Congress and you've sent them a letter, and folks, I can't stress this enough, members of Congress do look at their site on GradeGov. They look at their page. Because aren't they always worried about what you and I are thinking about them? Sure they are. They're always up for re-election. Every member of the House of Representatives is up for re-election every 2 years. And a third of the Senate is up every 2 years. So they're always wondering what we're thinking of them. So what better way to let them know what you're thinking about them than to grade them and send them a letter on GradeGov.com. All right, I'm pretty much done with the housekeeping. I want to say hey to the folks in the chat room. Hey, Bob, I hope you're staying warm up in Connecticut. Let's get started. What went on this week? Well, the House of Representatives ended up passing the repeal of Obamacare. The bill also defunded Planned Parenthood, and it was done through the reconciliation process. We talked about this on Monday. I'm not going to get into the minutiae of it because it is a bit boring unless you're really into all the budget stuff. But this is really the first time, the first real ability that members of the Congress in the House and the Senate on the Republican side have had a legitimate, actual, viable way to repeal Obamacare. They passed a repeal of Obamacare through the House of Representatives, I want to say 60-some times. But most people knew it was never, ever, ever going to go anywhere because Harry Reid was the leader of the Senate for last 6 years under Barack Obama. He's a Democrat. He's the Democratic leader from Nada, and he basically said, nope, not coming up on my watch. So the House would pass him, and they would go to what we call the black hole of the Senate. Well, reconciliation gave them new life. Reconciliation only requires a majority vote in the Senate, so you can pass it with 51 votes. The problem is reconciliation is only created, it only is born out of doing a budget resolution. So the House and the Senate have to do a budget resolution. It has to contain language that says later in the year, the Congress would like the House and the Senate to consider reconciling some problem that they believe is going to happen. And then when they do that, it only takes a majority. Well, they used the reconciliation process to repeal Obamacare. They used the reconciliation process to defund Planned Parenthood. Does anybody remember where the reconciliation process was used the last time around? It was used to bring us Obamacare. Harry Reid was the leader of the Senate Democrats at the time. They had the same problem, only in reverse. They were in the majority. Senate Republicans were in the minority. But Ted Kennedy had just passed away. He was the 60th vote in the Senate of the United States. So without Ted Kennedy, the seat became open. And Scott Brown, the newly elected senator from Massachusetts, who they dubbed Senator 41, he was elected, and therefore Harry Reid lost his 60th vote. So he's scratching his head. How in the heck am I going to get this big, huge new mandate to every single American that breathes that they must buy health insurance? How am I going to get this through the Senate? Because I don't have 60 votes anymore. He used reconciliation process. The House and the Senate were run by the Democrats back in the day. This is in 2009. They were run by the Democrats. So they passed a budget resolution through the House and the Senate that created a reconciliation process. Then they created the reconciliation bill. And, well, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. You know what? If you want a little three-minute primer on reconciliation, go to gradegov.com. And on the homepage, there's a video. There's a couple of videos. But the one I'm talking about has a picture of the Senate chamber. And it tells you a little bit about reconciliation. So now you know about reconciliation. That's why they had to use it. That's why they did use it to repeal Obamacare. That bill went to the president's desk and he vetoed it. No big surprise today. He didn't have any kind of big fanfare. He really didn't do anything. He really did not do anything. He signed the veto to really barely even press. This is a bill that passed the House of Representatives by 240 votes, but it needs 290 to override a veto. It passed the Senate by 52 votes and needs 67. So bottom line is, even though it made it to the president's desk, the first time a repeal bill made it to the president's desk, yippee, it didn't really do any good. As I said, the president vetoed it today, very little fanfare. In his statement, he said that health care is working and slamming the bill because it would reverse the significant progress that we have made in improving America's health care in America. Wow. Affordable health care includes a set of fairer rules and stronger consumer protections that have made health care coverage more affordable, more attainable, and more patient-centered. That's what our president told you, more patient-centered. Really? Wow, that's amazing, because I don't know that anybody that has Obamacare really kind of believes that. So it's dead. It's dead as a doornail. Also, as I said, the bill would have defunded Planned Parenthood. So Speaker Ryan, the Republican from Wisconsin, said he will hold a veto override vote, taking this process all the way through under the Constitution. Obviously, he thinks this is the best thing to do, and I think he's right. He needs to put his House members on notice. Now, Congress College listeners know this. They know the little nuts and bolts about vetoes. We're going to have just a little bit of a quiz in a minute, how many have there been under this president. But remember, I bet you Bob can answer this question. When a bill is vetoed, it is returned first to the chamber that initiated it. This is an HR bill. It's a House of Representatives bill. If it were a Senate bill, it would be S something. This is HR something. So it gets returned to the House of Representatives first. Speaker Ryan said he's going to have an override vote. They're not going to get from 240 all the way to 290, so it won't be overridden. And remember, it takes both houses to override the veto. Remember, we talked about this on Monday. The question that will be before the House members when they vote is, shall the bill pass the objections to the president, the objections of the president to the contrary notwithstanding? So it won't pass. They won't be able to override it. How many vetoes has this current president, Barack Obama, how many bills has he vetoed? This is his eighth one. Keystone Pipeline was the most recent. The others, sort of, not much. They were because of minor issues to a large extent. Can barely remember them. The two...
Is the Canadian-born Senator Ted Cruz, you think, eligible to be president? John McCain said he didn't know today. I was curious for your perspective.
He said he didn't know?
Yeah.
No. But, again, this is inside baseball, to use one of Chad's always sports analogies, inside baseball of the Republican Party. It's up to them to decide. I do think there is a distinction between John McCain being born to a family and serving our country in Panama than someone born in another country. But again, this is a constitutional issue that will either be decided or not, but in a constitutional way. My opinion means nothing here.
This doesn't make a difference if Trump is the nominee.
So if I say we want Trump, then that means we think that enhances our prospects, so that might reduce his support. I don't really get involved in the Republican nomination for president. You know that. I wish them well in their process, whoever they nominate. We feel very confident that we will be able to defeat and to do so in a way that lifts many more members into the House and the Senate and state legislatures across the country.
Okay, well, that was Nancy Pelosi basically saying she wasn't going to get into the issue, but she thought that it should be resolved. What happened when John McCain ran in 2008, there was a resolution, a Senate resolution, introduced by Senator Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, Claire McCaskill, a Democrat from Missouri, President President Obama, the Democrat from Illinois, Senator Coburn, who was the senator from Oklahoma, and Senator Clinton, the senator from New York, and Senator Webb, the senator from Virginia. They introduced a resolution, and I'm going to read it real fast. Whereas the Constitution of the United States requires that to be eligible for the oath for the office of president, the person must be a natural born citizen. Whereas the term natural born citizen appears in Article 1, Section 1 and is not defined. Whereas there's no evidence of the intention of the framers or any Congress to limit constitutional rights of children born to American citizens serving in the military, blah, blah, blah. That's basically the point that it made. You know what? John McCain had a few friends in the United States Senate because this resolution was introduced April 10th of 2008, and they passed it by unanimous consent on April 30th. The resolved clause is that John Sidney McCain III is a natural-born citizen under Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. Why did they do this? They did this if somebody were to challenge it in court. If somebody were to raise a legal question, the Senate would have spoken that they believe he was a natural-born citizen. Again, it was introduced in April 10th of 2008 and passed within 20 days. That's pretty amazing. Do you see any of that happening with Ted Cruz? Folks, he has made so many enemies. He's made so many enemies in the United States Senate. I do not see that happening at all. I don't know if someone will challenge it. We hear that Alan Grayson, the congressman from Florida, bombastic Alan Grayson, congressman from the Orlando area, will challenge it in court. So we'll have to see. All right, now you've got Donald Trump. He is saying, he said as of Thursday night, he was in, I believe it was Burlington, Vermont. He called for gun-free zones in schools and on military bases. Quote, unquote, I will get rid of gun-free zones on schools. You have to. And on military bases on my first day. I get signed my first day. It gets signed my first day. And then Wade said, you know what a gun-free zone is to a sicko? This is Donald Trump asking the question. It's bait. So that's what the real estate mogul Donald Trump says he's going to do on the first day. Yeah, let's talk about Marco Rubio for just a minute. You think that Ted Cruz is leading with evangelicals? Marco Rubio is trying to appeal to them ahead of the Iowa caucus. They say that Ted Cruz is leading with the Jerry Falwell crowd. Marco Rubio is leading with the Billy Graham crowd, and Trump is leading with the Jimmy Swaggart crowd. That means sort of that Cruz is largely followed by the classic moral majority model. And that's sort of the beginning of the conservative movement, if you think about it. He's received endorsements from James Dobson, who's focused on the family. Remember, he's got that Focus on the Family Foundation. Trump tends to work closely with Pentecostalism, which tends to believe that God would financially reward believers. And then you've got Rubio. They say he's got the Billy Graham wing. Well, we're going to talk about Billy Graham's son, Franklin, here in a minute. But this week, he announced a religious liberty advisory board. This is Marco Rubio. That includes Rick Warren. We know who Rick Warren is. He's the founder and pastor of Saddleback Church. You have a director of the Florida GOP. His name is John Stemberger. He's talking about Marco Rubio here. He says he really has a grasp on theology that almost surpasses even Huckabee. On Thursday, Marco Rubio released a video ad. I want you to listen to it. See what you think. It unbelievably warmed my heart. This is about 30 seconds, so take a listen here.
Our goal is eternity, the ability to live alongside our Creator for all time, to accept the free gift of salvation offered to us by Jesus Christ. The struggle on a daily basis as a Christian is to remind ourselves of this. The purpose of our life is to cooperate with God's plan. To those who much has been given, much is expected. And we will be asked to account for that. Were your treasures stored up on earth or in heaven? And to me, I try to allow that to influence me in everything that I do. I'm Marco Rubio, and I approved this message.
Wow, that's pretty powerful, if you ask me. That's pretty powerful. Well, speaking of powerful, let's go over to Hillary. Is she in trouble again with her emails? Remember, Hillary personally attested that none of the sensitive material that she wrongfully transmitted through her unsecured server was ever marked classified. She said that over and over and over again. And remember, she was obligated by law to recognize and protect classified material as soon as she saw it, as soon as it was produced. She had to designate it as that in some cases, or at least recognize it as that, and then protect it. She was the Secretary of State. There is an email. Remember on Friday, the FBI got another 1,000 more of her emails that she said were wiped clean that we obviously know now are not. There's an email exchange called a thread, as you know, with Jake Sullivan. He was then her deputy chief of staff. He's now her campaign advisor for foreign policy. The email is basically showing that she's being impatient, waiting for a set of talking points. When Sullivan, this is in the email chain, when Sullivan tells her that the source is having trouble getting a secure fax, this is what Hillary says, she orders Sullivan to have the data stripped of its top secret markings and send the information on through a non-secure channel. This is the words. If they can't, then turn it into non-paper with no identifying headlines and then send it non-secure. That's from the email. That sounds like she knew it had classified markings. She didn't care. She wanted it anyway. So she asked him to send it non-secure. The FBI says they're close to indicting. That's the rumor around. They're close to indicting her, and they're thinking maybe this summer. Well, we remember what's going on this summer. We got conventions going on this summer. The Republicans are first. So the Democrats could actually learn something from the Republicans. They could wait, obviously, and probably will, and more likely will, wait until the Republican convention, until it chooses its nominee, if we haven't done it beforehand, and then also when the nominee then chooses the vice presidential candidate. Does the Republican vice presidential candidate pander or try to appeal to immigrants, Latinos, Hispanics? Maybe they try to appeal to the women voter. Well, we know this. The Democrats will be able to wait for the Republicans and then take their cue from the Republicans, because this summer the Republicans' convention is first. Okay, frequent listeners of Congress College know we are about to do the President's Daily Schedule for today. So get your paper, get your pencil ready. Here's the President's Daily Schedule. I will talk really slow because it is jam-packed. At 11 o'clock this morning, the President received his daily briefing in the Oval Office. At 2 o'clock, the President participated in a conference call with grassroots supporters to discuss gun violence. That's it, folks. That is it. That is our President's Schedule for today. You know, I read you the President's Daily Schedule at every area of Congress College, so you understand how feeble it is. I urge you to do this. Google your favorite past president. Maybe it's Ronald Reagan. Maybe it's Bill Clinton. Google him and find today's date or around today's date. Make sure it's not a Saturday or a Sunday. And pull up that President's Daily Schedule, and I guarantee you, without even seeing it, because I've looked at them for years and years and years, it will start out something like this. 7:30, breakfast in the family quarters. 8 o'clock, presidential daily briefing in the Oval Office. 8:30, meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. 9 o'clock, cabinet meeting. 9:30, meeting with Senate leadership. 10 o'clock, meeting with House leadership. 11 o'clock, on and on and on till 6 or 7 o'clock every single night. And you know what, guys? This guy is lucky to have two things on his schedule.
most of the day. Okay, Monday will be the next broadcast of Congress College, and I'm going to bring you Congress College from Tallahassee, Florida. I will be attending the Decision America Tour. I'll be hosted, co-hosted with my friend and your friend, Andrea Shea King. She's going along with us, and we'll be broadcasting from Tallahassee the night before from the Capitol, Florida Capitol. Listen to Franklin Graham tell you just a minute about it. This is a little more than a minute, and then I'll wrap up.
Hello, this is Franklin Graham. You know, our country is in great trouble, and I believe we are at a crossroads. And to be honest with you, I don't see any political hope or political answers. The Democrats aren't going to turn this thing around. Our Republicans aren't going to turn it around. And the Tea Party, they're not going to do it. The only hope for this country, I believe, is an almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so in 2016, I'm launching a tour called the Decision America Tour. And I'm going to go to every state. We're going to hold prayer rallies to preach and proclaim the gospel. And what we're going to do is challenge the church to take a stand and for Christians to vote for candidates, men and women who will stand for biblical values. You see, I believe that we can mobilize the church not only to get up and vote, but for Christians to run for political office at the local level, the state level, the federal level. And if we can raise up an army of men and women who are willing to get into the political field and to hold to biblical values and live a life that exemplifies those values, that's what's important. This is the Decision America Tour, and you can go to decisionamericatour.com to get more information. But be a part of it. Stand up. We need your voice.
For the first kickoff of Decision America Tour. Andrea Shea King will be with me. We're going to broadcast Monday night. America is at a crossroads. Do you believe that? I sure do. Tallahassee is the first of these 50 rallies. He's going to all 50 states. He's going to stand up in front of all 50 state capitals and basically tell you, vote, vote biblically, and try to get our America back on track. So I'm going to ask you, go to decisionamericatour.com. If you're anywhere near Florida, come to Tallahassee. Look at your state. See where he will be. Try to participate. In the meantime, have a blessed weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday with Andrea at my side. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you with the Newsboys song, God's Not Dead. Have a great, great weekend.
In a statement released today, scientists have announced that based on their research, they have concluded that God is a myth.